This is Day to Day. I'm Madeline Brand. Turkey is trying to become part of the European Union, but Europe is ambivalent, and so, for that matter, are the citizens of Turkey. The country's bittersweet romance with the West permeates the work of Turkish writer Orhan Pamuk. His books have been promoted on billboards in Istanbul and translated into more than 30 languages. Yet now he is being prosecuted for defaming Turkish honor. Frank Browning went to Istanbul to talk with Orhan Pamuk and brought back this report.
This is Orhan Pamuk. We are in Istanbul at my office overlooking the entrance of Bosphorus. So many people come here and visit me, and each time I'm embarrassed to have, which I sometimes call, the best author studio in the world.
It's late morning. The eternal mist of the Bosphorus nearly burnt away, the constant rumble of diesel-driven ferries echoing up the slopes. Soon the muezzin will launch his call to prayer from the Mosque of Cihangir, built 450 years ago by Suleiman the Magnificent. This ancient landscape forms the terrain of Orhan Pamuk's work.
From my desk, I can see inside the Topkapı Palace, various buildings. I know all these buildings by heart. Next to it is St. Sophia.
Orhan Pamuk's latest book is called Istanbul. It's a love letter to the great melancholic city. But now it's no longer clear that he will be able to continue living in Istanbul.
He was declared a traitor in a number of newspapers.
Journalist and novelist Maureen Freely has known Orhan Pamuk since they were in high school in Istanbul.
There were death threats. There were invitations on websites for somebody to silence this person forever, that kind of thing. And so he was forced to leave the country, and he had to stay in more or less in hiding for several months.
Pamuk's offense was an offhand, almost incidental remark made last spring to a Swiss newspaper.
I just made a statement about one of our great taboos, what happened to Ottoman Empire's Armenians in 1915. This is a taboo we still cannot discuss.
The next day, his reference to the most contentious issue in Turkish history, the massacre of Armenians during World War I, made headlines across the country. It also brought the denunciations that eventually led a prosecutor to charge Pamuk with defaming Turkish national honor. Again, Maureen Freely, Pamuk's friend and translator.
He can't imagine living anywhere but Istanbul, so he's trying to stay and defend his right to stay and also defend his country, because the irony about this is that he's a patriot.
Few believe Pamuk will go to prison, but the sentiments beneath the case cut to the deeper themes he explores in his memoir. The Istanbul of his childhood in the 1950s and 60s was bathed in a heavy atmosphere of melancholy.
From a very young age, I suspected there was more to my world than I could see. Somewhere in the streets of Istanbul, in a house resembling ours, there lived another Orhan, so much like me that he could pass for my twin, even my double. I can't remember where I got this idea or how it came to me. It must have emerged from a web of rumors, misunderstandings, illusions, and fears. But in one of my earliest memories, it is already clear how I've come to feel about my ghostly other.
It's a collective sadness born of the city's history.
All the riches of Middle East and Balkans came to this town, then the Ottoman Empire fell apart, and this glorious imperial city went into ruins. I spent my childhood in that ruins, and I wrote about how beautiful it is. Something to do with what the Japanese call nobility of failure, the willing embrace of failure.
For a nation struggling to be a modern European partner and a city determined to reclaim its metropolitan glamour, any talk of failure these days, and worse, of guilt, provokes jitters. Even among liberal Western-oriented Turks like Daria, an independent tour operator on a busy street near the ancient Hagia Sophia Mosque. Daria credits Pamuk as a great writer, but...
Mr. Pamuk, he say, 1 million Armenians killed, Turkish people killed them. And we didn't like these words, because at the moment, we want to be one hand. You understand what I mean? We feel we have to be a little nationalist at the moment, especially.
Others, like Ibrahim, who runs a Turkish sauna in a crowded cafe district near Taksim Square, told me, in French, that he views Orhan Pamuk as a sort of tool of the Europeans.
Ici, aussi en Turquie, il y a des intellectuels.
Here in Turkey, he said, There are a few left-wing intellectuals who are very well organized and connected to the media who operate more or less like the Masonic societies. Well, Orhan Pamuk said, we killed the Armenians, because the Europeans, they wanted someone who would say that the Turks killed the Armenians.
Parce que les Européens, ils veulent que quelqu'un dise que les Turcs, ils ont tué les Arméniens.
Both Ibrahim and Darya are torn by deep Turkish patriotism and their yearning for a democratic Turkey that respects free speech and human rights. Yet they're also afraid that too much European-style criticism could provoke internal separatists and the hardliners. These are the tensions that course through Orhan Pamuk's melancholy prose.
This fight is going through the souls of all the people in this country. It's not a fight between good people and bad people. It's a fight between two spirits of the same person. And the popularity of my books in just 5 years is due to the fact that Turkey's problems between East and West, between modernity and tradition and Islam, turn out to be the...
Just then, the muezzin at the Shiangir Mosque sounds the midday call to prayer. Though neither Pamuk nor his family were ever religious, he's not opposed to religion. In fact, Islam's imprint, he says, persists on everything from art and science to war and politics. And the dance between Islam and secularism generates the stuff of literature. The history feeds the melancholy, and the melancholy nourishes the retinue of moods that fill his journals, his essays, and his novels.
If one writes honestly about one's moods, I think, then one knows about not oneself, but whole humanity, that we are all made up of so many moods which continuously deceive us.
Deceive us?
Mm-hmm. In, say, for 3 hours a bit sad, then for another 4 hours you're okay, and another 5 hours I may be angry. Pinning down your sentiments is the essential reflects of an inborn author, I think.
Orhan Pamuk hopes he'll be able to continue pinning down and writing about those sentiments in his home in Istanbul. His hearing on charges of defaming Turkish honor is set for December 16th. For Day to Day, I'm Frank Browning.